Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
What you want, baby, I got. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
I'll try not to break my chair.
And
all right.
Pete's here.
Fat pumps.
That's right. Three's company, but four's a ramble. Jimmy Baby's back.
Hello.
Oh, my
Baby
goodness.
Got back.
And and he feels good.
I
trust
do.
Me. Hands on the gym. Now, a local bathroom manufacturer in Hull created a commemorative toilet seat for the FA Cup final with the Hull colours on the outside and Steve Bruce's face inside
yeah,
the lid.
You are reading that right, yeah.
Yeah.
And you sort of sounded a bit incredulous halfway through, but it is true.
It's like they've forgotten what a toilet's used for, isn't
it? Steve Bruce has. Let him get away with it.
That's image rights.
Yeah.
He doesn't have image rights.
Yeah. He will now. Stop this happening.
If you could create something for the house inspired or featuring someone from the world of football, what would you come up with, Jim?
Ladies, gentlemen and ramblers, I give you the Roy Keane cat flap. You can also use it for dogs, just any animal that you own, probably a rabbit as well. So basically, every now and then, it would look like he was eating a cat, and then probably about 10 minutes later, it would look like he's vomiting out a cat. And it would have those eyes that, like, follow you around.
Could the eyes be like cat's eyes?
Yeah, why not?
That'd be great.
Sometimes they just light up for no reason. I mean, obviously, very much the whole thing is for no reason, but...
Yeah.
But I think that would be a good addition to perhaps a serial killer's house.
Yeah. Or indeed Roy Keane's house.
Yeah, that's true. Luke, what you got?
I've got a couple of ideas here, so I might just do both of them and see which one flies. First of all, I've got a Peter Ridsdale boardroom/fish tank. So, you know, a lot of people work from home these days.
Yeah.
Meetings.
Yeah.
Get in there. It's got a life-size Peter Ridsdale at the top of the table in the sort of chief exec's chair.
You'd imagine he loves a meeting.
Every so often he pipes out for a speaker system, would you take $35,000 a week? And then you've got the fish in the fish tank, but when you look at the fish up close, you've realised they're actually swimming gold bars. That's bullion.
Maybe the Peter Ridsdale statue thing could have some sort of magnetic thing that automatically maxes out any credit card that's in the vicinity.
Straight away, yeah.
You'd imagine Peter Ridsdale is what you got on today, Peter. Meetings, just meetings all day.
Yeah.
You've had that every day for your whole life, yeah?
No one wants to go for a drink with you. No one wants to have a meeting with you.
No, that is a meeting.
The other thing I
wouldn't want to go for a drink with him. Imagine the round.
He would just talk about how it wasn't his fault all the time.
Mm.
The round would be crazy. You end up buying a drink for everyone in the pub. Yeah. You end up buying a drink.
You buy a bottle of champagne for everyone in the pub.
Yeah, no, for more people that are actually in than are actually in the pub.
Mm. Yeah.
Dropping dumping till Tuesday.
And then when you sat down having a glass of champagne and realising that everyone else in the pub was having champagne, you look at Peter Ridsdale and he would be completely innocent and just go, well, we live the dream. And in the garden, I'd have a Lee Sharp barbecue area.
Hey!
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
No explanation needed.
No.
Move on.
Mm. Peter.
I'd have Sir Alex Ferguson fiberglass loft insulation because goodness me, it looks like he's rubbed his face on something. Or saw. Like bits of fragments of cotton glass
like that,
in his face.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I had the Duncan Ferguson burglar alarm.
Okay, yeah.
Well, isn't that just Duncan Ferguson?
Well, you wouldn't have a picture of a dog on your wall, on your window. You'd have a picture of
Big Dunk.
Beware, he lives here.
And if that goes off, it notifies him. And it doesn't matter where you are in the country, he will be charging up that motorway.
He will find you, and he will not just hurt you, he will knock you out.
What is it so hard
to knock a person out.
What is Duncan Ferguson doing now?
He's a coach at Everton, isn't he?
Is he? Yeah. Right, okay.
I like the thing of Duncan Ferguson.
Performing.
Yeah, it is frightening.
Not when Lukaku's smashing them in.
Yeah, I like to think a Duncan Ferguson alarm would be like, you know when you hear those Securical vans where the guys come out the van, they go into the shops and get the money, and they've got them in that box.
Yeah.
Cut to their handcuff to their hand. And if you break that, it spills ink all over the notes, and they're traceable. Yeah. It would basically, if you burgled Douglas Ferguson's house, then the ink would go on you, and you'd never be able to wash it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at some point in the future, he will find you,
yeah.
and he'll notice you. Mm-hmm. There'll be no, you won't be able to deny it because it'll be there, and you'll just get absolute pounding.
Yeah. And he's happy to wait,
and not in a good way.
The more he waits, the less.
He's happy to wait because it's the fear he enjoys.
Yeah.
Well, the more
that sustains him.
The funny thing is that the more time you walk free, the more angry he gets.
It's like a Scottish like football version of Old Boy.
Or Taken.
Or Taken, exactly.
Mm. He has a unique set of skills.
I'll find you, and I'll knock you out.
That or the Jack Warlock.
A revenge is a dish best served fucking cold.
So that one, or the Jack Warner piggy bank.
Yeah, how does that work, though?
You put other people's money in it.
Yeah. And it can only be broken by him.
With his solid gold hammer.
Yeah.
Do I get the points?
No.
I mean, I deserve them, but I won't because I've got loads of points. Luke's Lee Sharp Barbecue.
I mean, that was very much an afterthought.
Donaldson,
yeah. It's got two answers.
Deal with it.
It's like no one governs these points and they mean nothing.
I thought you said Teal with it. Sean Teal. Sean Teal with it.
He should say that whenever he gives someone a telling off.
Teal with it.
Ian Beale with it, all right? Now, let's go to the FA Cup final.
Where
Hull City.
It's the only reason he came back.
Hull City.
We got an email earlier in the week saying I'm not coming back. And now he's changed his mind.
Jim, your team, mate. They won a trophy.
Oh, God. For the first time since we've been doing the ramble, it's really important to me. It's really important to me that Arsenal have now won something more recently than Portsmouth. No offence, Luke, but that's ridiculous.
Can I do an obvious Twitter-based joke? It's been 2 days since Wenger won a trophy.
Big Wenger. We saw Wenger's pecs, didn't we?
Mm. Yeah.
He was topless.
Quite the soaking.
That, no. When was that?
He got drenched and he changed his top and you could
Lucas
see.
Lucas Podolski chased him around the pitch with a big bottle of champagne like the maniac he almost certainly is.
Yeah, he looked very frail.
I do not respect you.
I got a warm nostalgia feeling watching the cup final when Hull went 2 goals up. I felt for Hull fans exactly what I felt when Alan Shearer scored in Euro 96-7
against
Germany.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm enjoying this, but it's far too early.
Yeah. And for that reason, I always thought Arsenal were going to get back in it and win. And previous Arsenal teams, I don't think I'd have thought that if they'd gone 2-0 down in a cup final, even that early on. But there's just a resilience to this team we've seen this season. You know, obviously they've taken their knocks, but they've bounced back from things and they had long enough to turn it around. And
you can't really argue with how they've done it because they've beaten some good teams in the way as well. Yeah. They've beaten Spurs, they've beaten Liverpool. They've actually done it.
Everton.
It's not a cup run you can argue with. No. Yeah, they beat the holders as well, which that's Wigan and they're a second tier side, but I mean, they've beaten them.
We'll take it, mate.
Of course you will, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, when the Hull went 2-0, you just thought, oh my goodness, you're not surely going to stuff this up.
But it was a good cup final.
It was a fantastic cup final.
And it looked like it meant it, meant something. Yeah.
I mean, Chester scored and it was almost like, oh blimey, oh, that's going to really annoy Arsenal. And then Davies scores and you think, oh my goodness. And then Bruce with the header.
Yeah.
It was cleared off.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been on the pitch.
Why is that?
Bruce. What?
At that point.
Bruce?
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah, very good.
Yes.
Very good, because you were slow. Good.
One of those one of those rare jokes where the listeners really got that like 10 seconds before.
I left an edit point for you there, Pete. And we'll see if you've taken that option.
Just like Pete's game. Yeah.
But wouldn't that have been all three Hull centre backs if Bruce had scored?
It would have.
Got on the score sheet. That's absolute rage.
I don't know about anyone, but I can't really get the image of Steve Bruce now rising up like a salad heading the ball.
Yeah. Sorry, it was Edwin back in the day.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Oh, he was amazing with his head. He once scored 19 goals in a season.
Yeah, he's now 22 stone. Bruce, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Bruce looked rather flushed, didn't he?
Yeah.
What I liked about it was, I was watching it and somebody said, oh, look, they're engraving the cup. My mate Al went, Did Steve Bruce think they said, oh, Griff in a cup?
I love it. But he looked all red and blotchy as a friend of mine pointed out.
He's been on the old fiberglass.
Yeah, yeah, as a friend of mine pointed out, he looked like, with his shirt a little bit tucked out and all the rest of it, a man who'd had a wank in an office toilet.
Wow.
I thought, yeah.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you use that word.
What, yeah. Office?
Toilet?
Yeah. Wank, guys. You meant wank.
And can I just be the first one to say we've all been there?
Yeah. That's true. That's very... No, it's not true.
No.
Sorry.
But yeah, you're right to make that point of that at one point it could have been all three centre-backs score. Yeah. One, three centre-backs on the pitch, magnificent.
Yeah.
For all of them to score in like, the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think that as Kieran Gibbs headed that off the line, he just said, fuck off!
Yeah. But that's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and Cazorla's goal, you know, made such a difference.
That was
such
a beauty.
Brilliant, brilliant free kick. Podolski confused McGregor, who took a step to the right, and then Cazorla's
shot. He still almost saved it.
Yeah, I know. He did really well. But that was such a sweet little tactic and a little routine between Cazorla and Podolski. Brilliant. I actually missed the third goal because I was watching it on holiday, and the resort that I was in, they had it on a very, very dodgy internet screen, and the guy who was trying to sort it out knew so little about what to do about this situation. At one point, he Googled the word Google. So I actually missed the third goal. But it doesn't matter because we won the cup. Amazing.
I was just going to quickly say, well, I remember that I think we've had 11... before this cup final, we had 11 goals in the last seven cup finals, which is like nothing. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And traditionally, I always found that the playoff final... The championship playoff final is better than the cup final.
Yeah.
And they used to be... I'm sure they used to play a lot closer together than they are now. But anyway, so it's great to see a proper sort of dramatic, energy-filled cup final on a nice sunny day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you look back over most cup finals from the last sort of decade or so, I mean, there's been some good ones in there, but I just assume Chelsea won all of them 1-0.
Yeah. Well, even the Pompey one, I couldn't enjoy it. It was a 1-0 bore fest, really.
Yeah.
But it was on at the same, pretty much the same time as as La Liga, though, wasn't it? It was just like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah. Sorry, it was exactly the same time.
You hate football, the FA.
More on that later. Don't you worry, ladies and gentlemen. Cazorla's free kick. I mean, this is going to sound perhaps quite harsh, but I mean, McGregor, it was his side. It was a fantastic free kick.
Well, Jim said, right, he took a step.
Okay.
And he almost saved it. He pushed it onto the other side of the bar.
Yeah.
He couldn't keep it out.
Yeah.
And it was a great hit, though.
Fabulous free kick, and that was so necessary because, I mean, it took them quite a long time to find the equaliser.
It just restored the belief. They'd not really been in the game up to that point, but then they were just Arsenal again. You know, they were just...
I think it was safe to say that Arsenal, they weren't very clinical.
No.
But obviously they got the job done. Sonogo came on.
Mm.
How do you think he did?
I think he did well.
I mean, he injected some energy, and he just had a real sort of, you know, he's very, very... inexperienced at this or any level, but he was exactly what Arsenal needed. He was just getting in there, just getting stuck in, making stuff happen, running. I think he scared Hull a bit. I don't think they really knew what to make of him.
Well, that's right. I mean, it was all Arsenal, really.
Yeah, even then, though, they still needed something more. It still wasn't enough, and Sonogo provided that.
Yeah, another day they could have had a penalty. I think
there was a couple of penalty shouts, wasn't there, for Arsenal?
Yeah,
and then Koscielny got the equaliser. Three centre backs scoring.
It was great. You quite often see that with Koscielny, where he'll stand very near the goalkeeper because he's very, very mobile, so he can mop up like that. He's great for a sort of crucial crucial goal from a scrappy corner.
Steve Bruce said the corner shouldn't have been given, which is probably right. Yeah. But as we say,
Probert didn't have a great game.
Yeah, but as we say though, I thought Arsenal should have had a penalty or two.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that Sonogo did well when he came on. He applied himself really well. He's still very raw. I don't think he's really ready to play even the backup role yet at that level. But I mean, this should be the time when Arsenal fans fully sort of start to respect Giroud a bit more, because I mean, a lot of Arsenal fans do like him. I understand that. I know you've not criticised him, but a lot of Arsenal fans get frustrated with him. And if you look at the bare facts, I mean, the guy's been knackered for 3 months.
Absolutely. Right?
He's had no backup. He's scored 18 goals a season, 10 assists. He's basically set up the winner for a cup final win. He's applied himself really well, and I don't think it's his fault that he's not banging 30 goals in, but 18 goals is a pretty good return
especially with 10 assists as well. And like a lot of people,
Walcott as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. He was our top scorer last season and was superb in the few games he played. His stats were sensational, really. And I think, you know, a lot of the criticism Giroud has had is how he's not, you know, done well enough in the big games. But that's, you can apply that to Arsenal in general.
He's part of Suarez.
I don't know why he's the lightning rod for that criticism.
Hmm.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, his setup for Ramsey's goal was superb, and it was so fitting that Ramsey was the one who got the winner. Well. Probably their best player of the season.
I eventually found out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's had a great season, Ramsey, to cap it off with that. And when he scored, the relief, and the celebration, of course, that went round the ground. But even then, Aluko went so close to getting an equal. I mean, it would just be classic Arsenal. The keeper comes hearing out, and he was a whisker away.
Kieran Gibbs, did you make the right decision?
He had a swing.
Yeah, but, well.
Yeah.
But, no, that was a... Even because obviously I missed that, but even watching the highlights was like, oh God, I so see how this would nearly have killed me at the time.
Well, I think Arsenal deserve a lot of credit because I've certainly been critical of them this season about their mental strength and how in the big games I really had doubts about them. And you could see that sort of late February, sort of March collapse I had this season, you could see that coming a mile off. I mean, I'm pretty sure we were chatting about that a month in advance when we knew the fixtures. That's going to be where they're going to fall over, and they did. But they've rescued something from their season. They've got a trophy. That monkey's off their back. They showed a great mental fortitude to come back after being 2-0 down. I mean, because if you didn't know anything about that game and you saw that they won 3-2 after extra time, you'd think, well, you know, I mean, they've dropped a bollock a bit there, but they've got away with it. Actually, they got sucker punched a couple times, and they didn't start very well. And for them to come back from that is actually really impressive, and they deserve it.
I think Hull looks at what both Chelsea and Liverpool did in that blitzing Arsenal early, you know, shits them up, and just tried to emulate it, and it worked perfectly for a while.
I didn't think they would do that. I mean, I previewed this game in my other job. I was thinking that they would just try and frustrate Arsenal and make it really difficult. But you know what it's like when they pack that five in the midfield and they sort of say to teams like Arsenal, well, what happened if you'd have the ball out wide? Because you haven't really got any sort of traditional hit the byline winger, so you can have the ball out there. And those three centre-backs will eat up headers all day. Mm. So they'll just pack the midfield and make it easy. But what they actually did was start like a house on fire and almost do it like you said, Liverpool. And it worked. And I just think the occasion got them a bit. And Curtis Davis looked absolutely gutted at the end, didn't he? Yeah, he played really well.
He's had a brilliant season, Davis. I mean, and it would have been difficult for Hull, and they got their tactics probably right because they didn't have Long and Jelovic, of course.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Which was a shame because they've been starting games and scoring goals here and there, and to not have them for the final would have been a bit gutting.
Mm. It was nice because I moved into a house right next to the Emirates, basically, so it was really nice on the Sunday to just enjoy, wow, this is what a cup win feels like.
Yeah. It's the nearest you're going to get, pal.
This would be nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Got the World Cup coming.
Oh yeah, sure.
He's an England fan.
Newcastle can't enter that.
Sadly,
even if they could,
football's detriment.
As France, they can.
Even if they could, I imagine Alan Pardew still wouldn't be bothered. Quite bothered.
Well, yeah, wonderful scenes.
I'm having a holiday with me mates.
If you're an Arsenal fan at Wembley, there, and it's great to see Wenger just loving it.
I'm really happy for Gunnarsaurus as well. It's been a long time.
That's right.
I found myself almost involuntarily really chuffed for Arsene Wenger.
Yeah,
because he gets a lot of stick.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a repayment of the faith that's been shown in him. It's just that monkey going to heaven for him is just beautiful. It's wonderful. That is what football is all about. I've forgotten how good it feels to win something, and I could gush all day, but that would be gross.
Football, bloody hell. It wasn't the only final that was played of late.
The
conference playoff final happened in England.
That was gutting.
It was for you, but being from the North East. Cambridge United beat Gateshead 2-1. Cambridge back in the Football League after a 9-year absence. A massive pylon for the winning goal by Donaldson. Ryan Donaldson. He signed from Gateshead last summer.
He didn't mind celebrating, did he?
No. Oh, no. And I do love that. But yeah, it was an enormous pylon. Hughes and Donaldson scored for Cambridge and Leicester pulled one back. A 33-year-old Luke Chadwick came on.
Yeah, local. That's an interesting story because he's from Cambridge.
That's right.
And he moved there on loan from Milton Keynes Dons, didn't he? Mm. I think specifically to try and get him promoted.
Well,
there you go.
Can I go over here for a bit?
Yeah, you're rubbish. Get out.
it was something like seven Newcastle youth players played on either side.
Oh, right.
For some reason. They always do end up at Gateshead. But it would have been nice, Gateshead-Hartlepool derby, sort of. That would be nice.
Well, it would have been nice, yeah.
I think Gateshead historically have been a league football team before, so... Mm. It would have been nice for them to get back up there. But Cambridge, of course, have been a league team since we've been doing the show. Yeah. So it'd be good for them to get back up there as well. Yeah.
Has any sentence made you feel as old as 33-year-old Luke Chadwick?
Same age as me.
He had an old face when he was young. Come
knock
on.
The wind out of me.
Is he your favourite 33-year-old Luke?
Yes. Present company included.
Disappointing.
Mm. Gary Lineker tweeted today on a very different topic. Ex-Man United players now, that Ryan Giggs has obviously retired, and he said he's the last professional player in the country that he'd played against. And then that's it.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
This is Gary Lineker. Oh, I feel old.
Okay.
You are old, yeah.
He looks young, quite old. He's apart from when he stands up in interviews on the Match of the Day.
The next stage of his career around gigs now will be cupping Louis van Gaal's big ball.
Someone's got to do it.
Ball cupper.
Yeah.
I mean, they call it.
It's an honour in Van Gaal's.
But it is essentially Van Gaal's ball cupper.
Cut the balls, work the shaft.
Yeah.
The iron tulip. As he's learned.
Yeah. That's his party piece. While Giggs has got his hair around his
head. Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to say what that really is.
No.
Yeah, Louis van Gaal confirms Manchester United boss. I mean, we all suspected it very much, but
it's become a terrifying reality.
We're pleased, aren't we?
We are. We're pleased and frightened in equal measure.
Yes.
Indeed. Can I just ask why the Scottish Cup is above La Liga in the running order?
Because while Scotland is still a part of the union, it's not abroad.
Have you had a phone call from Archie Knox again?
Staying in the union for now. We go to the Scottish Cup.
Diego Simeone is fuming with you.
Don't worry about that. St Johnstone, they beat Dundee United 2-0. Now, this is a big story. St Johnstone won the club's first major trophy in their 130-year history.
It's amazing. Amazing achievement.
Absolutely amazing achievement. There we are. Does anybody want to say anything more?
Stevie May.
Saints striker Stevie May. He scored 27 goals this year. And he said he'd like to stay at the club. The 21-year-old's caught a little bit of attention from other teams, as you would imagine.
He'd go to Celtic and score 100.
Yeah. or just sit on the bench and then not really
21?
Play that much.
Yeah, 21 years old.
That can often happen. Let's go to La Liga. Yeah! Hey, they did it! They bloody did it! Barcelona won, Atletico Madrid won. Simeone's men managed to get over the line. I did worry. The first half.
It's worrying, that's why.
That's right, Pete, because Alexis Sanchez scored the best goal ever.
It was one of those goals. Wonderful. It was one of those goals where you just thought, if that's going to win him in the league, fair enough.
Yeah.
Because he had absolutely no angle from what you could see. Yeah. I saw it in the replay, I still couldn't work it out at squeezed in.
Ridiculous.
And he actually meant it.
It was the perfect strike.
Sanchez has been excellent for them this season. Yeah. I mean, they've not had a great season by their own standards, but he's really improved for them and really stood out.
Well, the game started and you thought to yourself, well, Atleti will look to contain them, obviously. And obviously a draw being enough was good reason to do that. And they were looking pretty comfortable. Barcelona hadn't created anything, and then Sanchez does that. And you think, oh, bloody hell. And then Diego Costa gets injured.
Yeah, he looked broken, didn't he?
Yeah, very emotional. As did Turan.
Turan even more so, yeah.
When he came off. And you had two crucial players going off. They go 1-0 down. And you think, well, there's their main man. And I was thinking to myself, oh, it's going wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is going to be absolutely heartbreaking.
Because
I know that the best team always wins the league. But it would have been an exception had Atletico Madrid not won the league.
Well, I think apparently Turan's going to be fit for the cup final.
Do you worry about Costa? But worry about for the World Cup.
Well, Costa's a huge doubt for the Champions League final, but he will be fit for the World Cup, apparently.
Is that right?
Well, AS are reporting that Turan's definitely going to be fit, and The Guardian reported today that Costa will be definitely be fit for the World Cup.
But, you know, you've got David Villa in there. You know, that's some option, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, not an option, he's a starter.
Oh, of course he's a starter, yeah, but his role becomes more important now. He'll probably play up top, you would think.
I think what Diego Simeone has achieved with Atletico Madrid this season, whether they win the Champions League or not, is the greatest manager achievement since Euro 2004.
There you are.
And I think it's actually... I would even go further than that and say it's probably more impressive because... The Greece thing is almost like it exists in a vacuum. It's like a tournament thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the amount of games you play are far shorter. far fewer. And what Atletico have achieved over a season where, I mean, the budgets alone are just absolutely tremendous in favour of Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And they've beaten both of them to it. And I don't think you will see a better achievement than that anytime soon.
Yeah. To also get to the Champions League final, which you say, whether they win it or not, is amazing.
Well, Sid Lowe wrote a wonderful article, which I absolutely implore you to read, and it highlighted a number of things. Atleti have played Barcelona 6 times this season and not lost any of the games. Atleti have not lost at home all season. Their starting 11 on Saturday cost under €40 million. Fabregas was more.
Yeah,
you look amazing. At like that. They lost their best player and top scorer last summer as well.
Yeah.
And they've kicked on, which is absolutely extraordinary.
It's like Everton sort of pipping people to the post.
I'm
trying to think of a club that haven't spent massive.
Well, they had the same odds. They had the same odds at the start of the season as Motherwell did to win the Scottish Premiership. I think it's 100-1 or something like that, which is absolutely remarkable. I mean, go back to the game.
Motherwell are never going to win the league.
Well, not at this rate.
Unless Scotland joins Spain, maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Could be next.
I don't know.
That's right. Following, after half time, Letty looked much better. And I thought to myself, Simeone, this is where he will prove his worth yet again, as if he needs to. Mm. And they came out in the second half. I think they realised, right, we need to go for this, and we need to get the goal and then sit on that. And it's exactly what they did.
Absolutely right.
And Godin's header was
great,
glorious.
Great header.
Glorious.
The thing I like about Atletico as well is they're a team of absolute warriors.
Yeah. Grafters,
There's not a player in that side where you think, oh, I'm not sure about him when the chips are down. Or I don't know if he'll battle back. And commentators and pundits talk about players who you don't want on your team when it's not going well. A lot, and you wouldn't say that about any of the Atletico players.
No, not one. Completely right. And when Atleti got the goal, Barcelona just looked so uninspired.
Yeah.
I mean, Messi didn't have a kick, and
he had a goal.
Just a loud goal, wasn't it?
Well, it's offside.
Miles offside.
Well, caught offside. So the trap's done its job. I mean, okay, yes, sometimes they are given, but ultimately they've done the job.
He was miles offside anyway.
Yeah. They just were never going to get through, and they pushed them out wide. That's no bother at all. Any cross came in, that's dealt with. Mm. I mean, there were a couple of times, admittedly, where players were like, I'm happy to get a book in here. And if I was Simeone, I'd be looking at them all and go, if any of you is not on a book in at the end of this game, Burgos is having a word with you. Because
get Google Glass up, tell me who's on the book. right at the end, when
Miranda, get yourself booked.
Atletico had a throw.
Take your shirt off if you have to. This is a matter of principle now.
Get yourself knotted up in your shirt. There was a bit right at the end before the final whistle. Atletico had a throw in, and it took them so long to throw. Even the referee, I think, was just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to blow up anyway. Just take it.
Yeah. Well, the Barcelona fans were very, very gracious in defeat. I mean, some of them, they clapped and a few of them even chanted at Letty. Because there was only 500 or so Letty fans at the game, which was quite...
That's amazing.
It was quite extraordinary.
That happens a lot in Liga, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does in Spain.
But in a game of that magnitude...
Yeah. I know, yeah.
Simeone was also very gracious in victory, and he said that
shouted Barça, Barça.
He did, yeah, back at
Forza.
Well, he brought in all seven of his backroom staff to the press conference after the match, bundled them all in there, and he said, this is the moment to be with my people. The people you do not see on TV but work the same or more, they make me a better coach. And he's such a class act, Simeone. He's very, very humble and gives the praise to everybody else and credits them. And at no point does he sort of stand there and think, yeah, look what I've done. And he would be well within his rights to do so.
When was the last time Atletico won it?
1996.
And who was playing midfield?
The big man.
Diego Simeone.
It is absolutely extraordinary.
What a treat.
They weren't presented with the trophy, though, because the head of the Spanish...
I hate this so much.
Well, because Real Madrid decided they're having it.
Yeah. The head of the Spanish FA was away.
Away? What?
To clarify, the actual word literally translated as he's off travelling.
What is he doing? Is he motorcycling around America like Phil Brown?
To be fair, right, nobody's given an explanation, so there could be something quite...
Just
right,
get
okay.
Someone else to do it!
I've no idea, but yes, Jim's right. You
he's
know.
Basically booked it by accident and gone, oh, could change it, but it's cost me €100.
And I'm probably bigger than the league.
It never goes to the last day.
I mean, the cup's not aware.
I know.
The cup exists, unless they've lost it and someone's gone, oh, yeah, it's on Dev's house.
Maybe that's it, it's just some terrible excuse.
With Sergio Ramos dropped under a bus. It was the
tour bus. It was not any old bus.
I know, but still, he dropped the Copa del Rey under a bus.
That doesn't make it
that's
better.
That's just a statement.
Why is it double decker? He's at the top.
Yeah.
That's how little regard they have for it.
We haven't got the ding out of it.
Oh my giddy up. Well, they're going to be presented the trophy at the start of next season.
So weird.
It really is quite weird.
You knacky yourself out celebrating it.
Not the players were moved on.
Yeah.
Zaya Acosta won't get a touch that trophy.
Presumably they still have to come in their new kit.
Yeah. That's very true.
The John Terry will have to be there by some sort of UEFA law.
That's right. The run-in for La Liga was incredible. Barca drew their last three games. Real Madrid got 2 points from the three games of the title run, and they won the last game, but they were out of the title race by then. And Atleti, I think they only picked up, 2 points, did they, in the last
game? Yeah, a great odd stuttering end to the season.
That's kind of like winning this title by 3-4 points, didn't they?
3 points. Barcelona was second. That's finished on the same as Real Madrid, and Atleti finished on top with 90. I mean, a ridiculous end to the season. Just so good. Yeah. I mean, it is a monumental piece of history. It cannot be understated. I mean, and if Simeone wins the Champions League, he's got the lot with them. He's got the he's obviously got the league, the Copa del Rey, the Spanish Super Cup, the European Super Cup, the Europa League. Lest we forget. Mm. And that is the last one. Mm-hmm. That is the last one. And he didn't win it as a player as well.
Gotta catch them all, Pokemon.
If Real Madrid win it, though, does it take the shine off of the league win?
It certainly doesn't, because if you saw the scenes in Madrid on the weekend, there's nothing.
Gabby was up that statue, wasn't he?
The statue, the Neptune statue in the middle of Madrid.
Dangerous. He's not waiting till the start of next season.
Oh, no.
I'll fashion my own trophy out of this rock.
Well, I was really pleased, actually, because you did think to yourself, are they going to have a muted celebration and then go again? Oh, no. The whole town was out. It was red and white. And the Atleti players turned up in, obviously, their fancy cars. But David Villa, Raul Garcia and Gabby turned up in a van hanging out the side. It was quality. Absolute quality.
Like Teen Wolf.
Yeah. So
riding the waves in the back of Teen Wolf in the van.
Bit of that.
Yeah, one for the youngsters there.
Yeah, mate. I don't think there's anyone that's not going to understand that reference.
Luke Chadwick will get that.
Yeah, Chadwick will be laughing his tits off that.
Of which he definitely has. Yeah. Indeed. Martino's left Barcelona.
Yeah, it's a shame.
He's gone after just one season.
Looks like it'll be Luis Enrique now, doesn't
it? Oh, it does. Yeah. I did think to myself, Frank de Boer's on his way to White Hart Lane, the phone rings. Levy, there's been a change of plan. I think Luis Enrique is.
He certainly seems to be pretty hot favourite. Yeah.
I thought De Boer might get mentioned, but maybe not. Maybe not. And also, Carlos Puyol announced his retirement from the game through injury. 36-year-old Carlos Puyol.
Yeah, isn't it? Giggs is moving on as well.
Yeah. Can I read you through the things that Carlos Puyol's won?
Do it.
Yeah.
Listeners, put the kettle on. 6 La Liga titles, 2 Copa del Reyes, 6 Super Copa de España, 3 Champions League, 2 UEFA Super Cups, 2 FIFA Club World Cups, 1 World Cup, 1 European Championships, and a silver medal in the Olympics.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
But can he dance?
Up there.
Can he dance?
Absolutely up there.
One of the best centre backs of recent years. We can agree.
Yeah.
We can agree. And then just quickly elsewhere in La Liga, Osasuna and Valladolid were relegated on the final day. They go down with Betis. There was a bit of chaos at Osasuna's. A fence fell on supporters. But fortunately, no one was seriously injured. That was quite worrying to see. But I think everything's okay there. At Granada, they stayed up with a 1-0 win over Valladolid. And I did like what their manager, Lucas Alcaraz, said. He was delighted to keep the club up, of course, and he said, I'm delighted for everyone at the club and the fans, but I think the club needs a new face and I don't want to take advantage of a moment of success, which is very humble again. I'm like a taxi. I'll put my free sign up and see if anyone hails me.
Like that.
Well done. Well done indeed. So an amazing end to the La Liga season. It was another Spanish victory in the Europa League final.
Yeah.
Sevilla beat bloody Benfica.
It's amazing.
I mean, what is it now? 8 or 9 European finals they've lost since the curse of Gutman?
It's terrifying to know that curses are real.
Yes.
I mean, you could say that it's the curse of Gutman, or you could just say that the Sevilla goal could be cheated. He basically cheated.
Well, Benfica should have won it before penalties. They dominated the game. They were the only ones who looked like scoring. And you thought, surely now they're gonna do it. They're gonna get the win. I mean, they completed a domestic treble, winning the Portuguese Cup on the weekend, obviously along with the league and the League Cup. So it would have been amazing if they'd have got a quadruple there. Yeah. But failed.
Oh, Benfica have been absolutely magnificent this season.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no question about it.
Yeah.
They
should have won that trophy.
Yeah, they had the chances to
do that.
They
should have won it.
I mean, I thought Rakitic was very good for Sevilla, but Benfica, they smashed the domestic league. And Porto came third in the end. But in the penalty shootout, the fact remains that Beto cheated. It's simple as that.
Well, yeah, but the curse of Gutman allows opposing
the referee to ignore it.
Key moments.
It's an all-compassing curse.
The curse of cheating.
There was two. I mean, of course, the Benfica players, penalty takers, didn't help themselves because they tried to stutter and be a bit too clever. But Beto, for a couple of the penalties, I mean, one of the saves, it literally is about 4.5-5 yards off his line.
The penalty spot almost.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Pat Bonney used to love a bit of that.
Yeah, well, they say, John, don't they?
Why isn't people up in arms about this? We had this. Yeah. When was the last time we spoke about this? I can't believe it's so prevalent and so unpunished. Narrowing the angles, it's cheating.
You never, ever see a penalty be retaken in an actual shootout. I can't remember seeing that.
And the thing that makes it more preposterous.
Maybe it's the pressure of it gets to the refs as well. Sorry.
Well, you've got the ref, the fifth official, and the assistant referee all looking at it, and no one says anything. It's crazy. I know that goalkeepers are coached to sort of take a step on a penalty. You'll get away with a step, so you take a step forward as soon as he's about to strike it. But according to the laws of the game, the goalkeeper's only allowed to move along his line until the ball's struck. Mm. And Beto, I'm sorry, I don't want to take anything away from Sevilla. I'm not sure we've got any Sevilla fans listening, but they. And if you're one of those England fans, or those English people who says you support Sevilla, even though you're English, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you don't care. Well, not just Sevilla, any kind of...
Yeah, but Beto has cheated there, and I feel for Benfica. They didn't help themselves by doing these stupid stutter run-ups where you should just take the penalty properly, as Sevilla did, to be fair. Mm. But it's unacceptable. It really soured it for me.
Oh, dear. But yeah, the Sevilla did win on penalties, though, quite handsomely on penalties. The German Cup was won by Bayern Munich. They beat Dortmund 2-0 in the final. Robin and Müller with the goals.
Robin loves a cup final goal, doesn't he?
He does. He does. Now.
He is a bastard for them.
Yes.
Didn't like one in the World Cup final, did he? No, couple of one-on-ones, didn't fancy those.
He tried. He did try.
True.
And having a pop at Robin. Sure, he's not bothered.
I reckon he did fancy it as well.
But they won four trophies in Guardiola's first season.
I love this because the narrative around Guardiola is that he had a bit of a sort of dodgy one.
Bundesliga. Yeah.
Four titles.
Super Cup. Club World Cup. German Cup. Semi-final of the Champions League.
He's won the double.
That's more than Jupp Heynckes did last season, which is amazing.
Well, in a way. Yeah, well,
Marcus, there is no manager on earth that wouldn't trade in the Champions League for the FIFA Club World Cup.
The Champions League is really just a qualifier for that.
It's just Europe.
Serie A is over this season, and Juventus? Juventus.
Hey, Juventus.
Jessica Ennis, good night.
Juventus, they finish on 102 points.
Juventus doing no soccer ball.
Yo. 102 points. Eh?
Yeah.
Loads. Leicester City, yes.
More points than anyone else by quite some distance.
Mm, have that, everyone else. What else happened in...
Can I just put this in a bit of perspective? Because Roma came second, had a record-breaking start of the season. I think they might have won 10 games in a row.
Maybe they did.
At the start. Lost the league title by 17 points. That's how good Juventus have been since then.
But Juventus, nothing in the Champions League.
No.
That's got to
standards.
Be...
The standards we hold up here on the ramble.
Mm. Yeah, they've won 102 points in this in Serie A. Wow.
They're probably bribing refs again, aren't they? Almost certainly.
Allegedly. Thank you. Yeah. What about Udinese? Di Natale, more specifically, got a hat trick.
Tony the Critic.
He got a hat trick on his last game.
Didn't win, did they?
No, 3-0. The first was a 25-yard free kick, left the keeper standing. Second and thirds were classic poacher stuff. 17 goals for the great man this season at the age of 36.
There's talk of him not retiring now.
Oh, please don't retire, Tony.
Yeah, he's indicated that, but he might be tempted to rethink his retirement.
If the defences are this bad next season.
Yeah, if you sign a couple of centre backs.
His goal score record over the last last five seasons, 29 goals, 28 goals, 29 goals, 26 goals, 20 goals.
My goodness.
And he's 36 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Christmas every day.
Yeah. What a great way to score a hat-trick, though, in your last game.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be his last game, though. So, well done, Serie A. Well done. We move on to Ligue 1. Oh, dear. Half didn't quite keep them up.
Pete's ceremonial wearing of the Herbrenard shirt last week, complete with sweat patches.
Ruined him.
The curse of Donaldson.
Sosho are still never going to win anything.
Yeah, they lost 3-0 at home. Rather an anticlimax. Herbrenard did say that he'll be leaving the club.
Pete, perhaps it's time for you to do an Herbrenard eulogy?
He was a man of all seasons. He wore nice white shirts and bootcut jeans.
Yeah, that is all correct.
All factually correct.
I did like what he said.
I'd hate my eulogy just to be a list of facts. He was a man who wore clothes.
Renard said, my priority is to stay in Ligue 1 in Europe, to play the Champions League or the Europa League. Well, all right, Al. Not if you've taken a side down.
We could all say that.
Wait a bit, and if I have nothing, I will return to the continent, Africa. I should not have too much trouble finding work.
Not with those cheekbones, no. Baby.
But I have set fire to this car, but I soon hope to be in a car what is not on fire.
According to France Football Magazine, West Ham have added him
to their
potential list of successes.
I'm having that.
Sam Allardyce.
Definitely.
Would he wear a different shirt?
Sam Allardyce? A bit of a tighter fit.
The problem with Renard is, I think, he's worn that lucky shirt for the Zambia success.
Yes.
Have we got any intel on whether he's changed the shirt for Solskjaer? I mean, is it a Zambia-specific shirt is what I'm trying to get
Maybe at. He's okay. Just become so smelly that the players can't listen to his coaching.
Maybe
that's
true.
Why he's
what does he wear
down.
In the wintertime?
What we should be looking for if he goes to West Ham is a full West Ham tracksuit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'd love him to adopt like a mock Cockney accent, like that Geordie actor in Green Street.
Oh, that was awful.
We stand and fight.
He went to my school.
Did he?
It's terrible accent.
Pete, do a Cockney accent.
Your Cockney
accent
is better than him.
Oh, I'm going to throw this brick at you slag.
There was a time when the
it's
only
like
thing
being in East London again.
There it was is. A time when the only thing Pete could say in a southern accent was "There's nothing wrong with that."
There's nothing wrong with that.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored 41 goals this season.
Not
some of
enough.
Brazil's past and
Too many.
Present players have created a video to try and get him out to Brazil for the World
it's
Cup.
It's just confusing.
Danny Alves.
Why have they got so little on?
Danny Alves, Ronaldo, Danielson, Bebeto, Wright, and others.
Well, listen, those guys, right? Fine, they're all retired.
Danny Alves,
you're still playing. Get your priorities right.
I know it's absolutely crazy. And to finish the main part of the show, in the United Arab Emirates, Al Ain were beaten 3-0 by Manchester City in a post-season friendly, not pre-season, post-season.
City players were delighted to go and do that.
Absolutely. Al Ain made a total of 25 substitutions in that game, 10 being the highest number made at one time. If you thought Sven in England was bad, get on that. 25 substitutions in a game. My giddy aunt.
I love
they
the
had to extend the bench for that.
Everyone just
surely
getting
on.
Surely
a normal bench can't handle that.
That's two teams.
Was it just
and
mix
your
mix?
Three subs?
Go on, I want to go.
I don't know.
Want to play against
clearly.
Them.
I love that Sam Nasri played in that game, and I imagine he was probably thinking, I'll show these French what they're missing out on.
Now it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. Thank you very much to Jamie Harris for these clues he's come out with.
Good old Jamie.
Total Rideout.
Oh,
yeah,
I'd
quite like that. Yeah.
Tote-pull ride-out.
Yeah.
Tote-pull ride-out, yeah. That's much better. Mm. Jamie, sort it out.
I was born in Fortaleza, Brazil. I guess that would be Fortaleza, would it? Eza?
No, Fortaleza.
Move on. Brazil on 18th September 1973.
Oh, 6 short years after the summer of love.
Stop, is it Rye?
No.
Stop, is it Danielson?
No, none of these people who wanted Zlatan to be at the World Cup. I scored 26 goals in 50 games for my first club, Vasco da Gama.
Okay.
Stop. Not Romario.
No.
He's older than that, I think. Stop. Is it Rivaldo?
No.
Stop. Bebeto, while we're doing this.
While we're doing this.
He did say it was none of those players.
I won the Copa Libertadores with Gremio in 1995, scoring 67 goals in 73 games.
Wow.
Stop. Careca.
No.
Stop.
I'd be older.
Mario Jardel.
Yeah! Jimmy!
Well, Jim.
Excellent.
Well played, friendo.
Friendinho. Luke.
What were the other clues?
There's some really nice clues, actually. I moved on to London Corner in 2004, where I was ridiculed by fans and press alike for my poor fitness levels, earning the name Lardo. One Italian journalist said of my debut against Milan, "We stretch a veil of silence in respect of what he has been."
Oh my god. Yeah, I do remember him being a bit of a rotund.
He was excellent for Porto.
Every single goal was a header.
Mm. 166 goals in 169 games.
Wowzers.
For Porto.
Wow.
If you're talking of sort of the dying art of the amazing in the air sort of header striker, then Yardell's definitely one of them.
Oh yeah. Luke, correspondence.
Yes, correspondence this week was all about the fact that Louis van Gaal has been announced as new Man United manager.
Oh, yeah.
Which we haven't talked about, by the way.
Well, we spoke about it a bit.
So much.
Mostly it was about ball cupping.
So much.
It was about ball cupping.
To talk about in the show. I mean, we're not going to talk about the England World Cup squad, of course. We're going to talk about that soon enough, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. We did say last week we'd talk about it this week. Apologies. So many good cups and La Liga and whatnot.
I think Van Gaal's interested in
the Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
Final.
As well. Mm.
Anyway, so I did this correspondence question expecting us to talk about Van Gaal, but we didn't, so it doesn't matter. If you were a new Man United manager, who would you choose as your assistant and why, is what I went for. So have a little think about it, chaps. Mm-hmm. Because the listeners have let us down this week. There's not that many good answers, so I need you to fill in.
Yeah.
If you're listening, listeners, and by very definition you are, sort it out. Adam says, I'd have Paul Lambert, so that way at least he's not at Villa anymore. I take it he's a Villa fan. Johnny Potton says, Martin Yole, the old good cop, bad cop routine.
That would work very well.
Well, presumably Martin Yole's the good cop, so I don't know what. Johnny Potton sounds like a monster. Cormac O'Connor says, Roy Keane, so he could tell me how terrible I am every day. Which sounds a little bit harsh, really. What else have we got here? Oh, DS North, friend of the ramble, Big Dan. In all seriousness, I think we can all agree as a group that Danny Murphy could do a job there.
Danny Murphy tell him that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Tobias Ashton on the Facebook says, number two, Big Archie.
Ah,
nice. Backroom staff of Tiggy Rainbow, Kenny Pavey and Lee Sharp. Director of Football, Svenigans.
There you go.
Is this you under a different name? Chairman Gigi Becali.
That wouldn't be me.
We're not having that, no.
No. He's been noticeable for his absence.
Because he's in jail.
Exactly.
Dig at you here, Pete. We'd offer the goalkeeping coach to Steve Harper, but he would lack the ambition to come to Man United.
Oh, rude.
Keggiest kit man, hashtag ramble references. Can't argue with that, can you? You can't argue with that. Russell Griffiths comes in with Pete Donaldson, yoghurt.
Yeah, I'd take it. I'd drop these guys like a hot pie.
On that, you'd never drop a hot pie.
No,
not
I'd love a hot pie.
another one, that flavour, Shane Rin says, Pete Donaldson, why are you asking? Fucking.
Yeah, that's right.
I would have Prince William's nanny.
Yeah?
Because at one point when Prince William has been in the bath, she would towel him down and she would be an air dryer. Wanker, 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 wanker.
And I think we'll finish that off. And if you don't mind me saying, Pete, rescue it back with Dan Williams, who says, Roger Johnson, drinking. any expansion on the Tiggy Rainbow, Marcus? Are you interested in having him as an assistant?
I would do, yeah. I was thinking maybe someone like David Seaman. They always said he had massive hands, and obviously that is a big pair of balls to cut.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I wonder how long we can go before Tiggy Rainbow finds out about all this. He's got a lot of listening to get through.
As far as I know, I don't want to lift the curtain up too much, but I'm pretty sure he works in a pub in rural Buckinghamshire and has no idea about the ramble. So he may never find out.
There we are.
Yeah.
That's good, but you'll find him before you...
I could dig him out. I could always dig him out.
He's got
a stammer. Yeah,
maybe we should find out the name of the pub.
What's that guy doing?
Tell everyone on here. People can start going in there with his t-shirt with his face on.
I don't know the name of the pub, but I would like to.
We've got numerous speech impediments.
Exactly, so another one.
Marcus can't pronounce anything Russian.
That's true. It's not just Russian, Pete.
That's not true at all. You nasty bugger. Nice of you to contribute, though, Peter.
Marcus, would you like Pete to apologise for slipping Time Lord into the show last week?
Right, well, absolutely. Peter.
I'm not apologising for that.
We should
do more ramble. You should be apologising. I think last time I'd heard that. I was listening along with the listeners.
I think what annoyed
me... It was reprehensible.
I think what annoyed me is you played Steve McLaren Time Lord, which older listeners all know, at the end of the show. At the end of the show.
Yeah.
Marcus, can I just cut in at this point and say, Marcus, if his texts and emails ready to go, was genuinely annoyed by this.
Why?
He's going to tell us,
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because
I'll tell you for why.
You just put in episode two, so it was out of context.
Oh, yeah, because it would have made so much sense if you heard it all.
You don't start watching Twin Peaks halfway through the series.
That's right.
All I'm saying is everyone who's listening
now... David Lynch does it. It's brilliant.
Everyone else who's listening now, that had nothing to do with me, so I'm coming up
Pete,
some of my roses.
All I'm saying is David Lynch goes into a production meeting, says an idea about Steve McLaren as a time traveller, right? Everyone goes, oh, David Lynch, he's amazing. We do it, pathetic.
Because you recorded it in your kitchen and there was two... He nearly fell off his chair then.
I did.
He was that excited.
Again.
Enraged.
Yeah. Go on. Yeah.
Well, you did it in your kitchen and the production wasn't there. The gunshots and all the craziness...
I don't remember asking for a review.
I'm just saying it could do with a bit of a re-edit.
Which you are, Mark Kermode.
Christ. Oh, I didn't know we were having appraisals this week.
Kermode and Mayo.
What about the fucking exposition, Mark?
What if Rob will put you up to this?
What if we find some old recordings of you and your band, One-Eyed Willie? How about we dig out them?
A spotless ska-punk effort from the young
Steve McLaren Time Lord was years ago.
I've seen Pete.
All right, you don't judge us on that. How would you like it if we brought some of your Cheeky Pete stuff out?
Yeah, free.
Would you like that?
I've seen a video.
We put stuff in the ramble.
That's
my interview with Greg Dyke, the twat.
I've seen.
No, to be honest with you, Pete, I wasn't annoyed at all. It was lovely to hear Steve McLaren Time Lord again, and it would have given a lot of other listeners that opportunity to hear. It's a bit like, you know, when you go back and you hear some Beatles and Stones records.
It's like seeing Ryan Giggs do it. Ryan Giggs play his first game. I mean, it's just nice to hear you guys with slightly higher voices. As you get older,
I can actually substantiate that point, Marcus, by looking at some of the reviews of last week's show on the Facebook page. I just get a couple of random.
Before you say this, are we effectively bringing back people who fucking hate us?
Yeah, we are.
Just
a few reviews at random. Fuck knows what that last bit was all about. That's the most popular post on the Facebook page this week. With 14 thumbs up. Matt Page pipes up with that play. Jesus.
And
Ron O'Sullivan brings it up the rear by saying, "Pete, I promise never to complain about a leg of the ramble again."
Yeah.
So there you go. Right. It didn't go down well.
Bearing in mind, the only reason I put that in there was Luke just left the studio and went, "I'll put something at the end, will you?"
That's normally how works. Went in quits. Normally works.
You'll never say that again. That's about 7 years old, that bloody hell. Fire.
Terrible.
Right, if you want to get in touch with us, do email us. It's show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble.
You might have.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got any ideas, for crying out loud.
And if you'd like to option Steve McLaren Time Lodge for, you know, like a West End run.
Please think about what you've done.
Yeah. If you want to remake
change
it,
your mind.
If you want to remake it, then do get in touch. Say goodbye, Jim.
Before we go, I've got a quick plug.
Hurry, Jim,
came
hurry.
Off the end of a kettle I own. I don't know how to put it back. So if anyone knows, just let me know. See you later.
Luke.
All right. See you later.
And Pete.
I'm going to do my one-man show up in Edinburgh this year at Stephen McLaren Time Lords.
Actually, I should just say before you go, a few people have asked us some questions. There will be the live show we're going to do in a couple of weeks, which is sold out, will be recorded and will be presented as a podcast, as far as I understand it. And also, to answer your other questions, we will be doing regular shows during the World Cup, probably a bit more frequently than we are at the moment. So stay tuned for that. There will also be a show next week, won't there?
Yeah. Yes. And there won't be any plays in those.
No, I won't be in it because I'm off on Ollie Bobs.
Oh yeah.
Laters.
No, Pete Serrano, one match suspension for the Time Lord discretion.
Right. See you next week.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.